Welcome to Eclectic, the podcast about anything and everything youth ministry, you name it. I'm Rob Brower.
And I'm Scott Davis.
And you know what, Scott? I had something really weird happen to me, okay? Yep. So as you know, we've got a youth worship team.
Right.
And our goal is to get it filled with youth, all youth.
Right.
But I don't know if our teens are just not talented or just shy or what, but we haven't had a drummer in quite a while. And I'm not a drummer, but I have been drumming. I'm also not a bassist, but at middle school camp, I was on the worship team playing bass.
Yeah.
So maybe I am a musician and I just don't know it. But the bottom line is
evidence seems to lead in that direction.
I don't know, man. I still don't consider myself a musician because I'm self-taught.
You're not a musician from your perception of what you would define an artist to be.
Yeah, like a pro.
An artist of any kind. Because, like, you know, a painter, a sculptor, a musician, all of those you see as, like, they devote their lives to.
You know,
I will, you know, like the person who tells their parents, I'm going to become a musician. And they're like, no, you need a real job to make some real money, you know. But you are a musician in that you have the some natural gifting that allows you to do these things.
Okay, fair enough. All right. So in my limited musicianship, I've been playing the drums for us. And we're in worship, and there's this one student. Now, I love this student, right? But he's having a conversation with another student, and it's not just like they're facing forward and kind of leaning over to one another, having that, like, if I talk quietly out of the side of my mouth, like, nobody can see me, like middle schoolers think, right? And so he's fully perpendicular to me, like, having this full-on conversation in the middle of worship. We're doing This Is Amazing Grace, and I'm like, why won't he stop talking? And I started getting angry, right? And so there's a part in the song where everybody cuts out instrumentally, and then we come back on This Is Amazing Grace. During that cutout, I jump out from behind the drums, and every once in a while, my nose will start running because of allergies or, all right, fine. I get moved emotionally sometimes. Yeah. My nose starts running, and I start tearing up.
You're a crier.
I am. I'm a crier. And so I'm just a very emotional guy. I'm just sensitive that way. So
I'm just in touch with my
sensitive side. So I've got a roll
Stop
of...
Stop crying, dude. Seriously.
I'm crying right now. Don't judge me.
Too late.
I've got a roll of toilet paper that I usually keep, like, hidden on the side of the stage. And we've got a TV screen up on stage, and so I kind of have it behind the TV screen. And this kid's talking, and he won't stop. And I'm, like, waving and, like, trying to get him to, you know, giving him the shh symbol. And he's not paying attention at all. He's completely engrossed in this conversation. So when we get to that musical break, I run over there, and I grab the toilet paper, and I chuck it at him. It bounces off the top of his head all the way to the back of the youth room. And he's looking at me with stunned eyes. And in that moment, I looked, and every student, every leader, including those that were on the stage in the worship team, kind of looking at me like, what in the world just happened? But I ran back to the drums and I came in. I didn't miss a beat, dude.
Nice.
So I say that to kind of brag on myself a little bit because it was pretty awesome that I was able to do that and get back to the drums.
In time.
But immediately after, I had this kind of sinking feeling like, was that the proper way to deal with that kid? Or did I just drop the ball as a youth pastor?
Well, here, first of all, any conversation, any story that begins with, I had this one student, and I really love him, but.
And that's a big but.
Yeah. Anyway. filter. Okay. So, but any conversation that starts like that, you know it's not going in a direction that's favorable to the student. But anyway.
Yeah.
I love it. It broaches the topic of, you know, when, how discipline happens, should it, in what form?
Yeah.
But in some situations, it's not easily definable. So, So
what would you have done differently in that situation? That's what I'm playing over my head. Like, should I have ignored it, or, you know, what? Ideally, I would have liked some other leader to notice that and go, hey, turn around and pay attention. In my mind, I'm thinking, leaders, is that so difficult? Why do I have to be the bad guy?
Yeah, and sometimes it drives me crazy because sometimes when I'm speaking or if I'm, you know, leading worship with guitar and vocally and stuff, it's kind of one of those things where sometimes, like, this is going on and it's like, are you kidding me? In my head, I'm trying to focus on playing the chords I need to play and singing the right notes with the right words and trying to have a look of...
Worshipfulness.
Worshipfulness, yeah. You know, not that I try to have a look, but in those moments where you get distracted, you suddenly have to try to maintain that look. Yeah. Because if you don't, you know, there have been times where I found myself glaring at a kid as I'm singing songs glorifying God.
Glaring at my own kid.
My eyes, my face is not glorifying God. I'm given the beams of anger and you are the beams of death. To a kid, the glare of destruction. And it's those moments where it's like, ugh. And sometimes I've had to stop and say, hey, cut it. And then I'm right back into the... Yeah. And it's so distracting. So yeah, it's some of those moments where I think some of it comes down to leader training, where if our leaders are doing what they're supposed to be doing, and it's understandable. It's easy for a leader to be into worship as well and not necessarily realize that something's going on that needs to be fixed or be so engrossed or that. But sometimes leaders just need the occasional reminder that, listen, part of your job is to take care of distractions so that I don't have to from up front. Because if I do it from up front, it makes it obvious to everybody that that kid was doing something.
And it embarrasses the kid. Exactly. And they got called out. And,
they get called out publicly when really it should have been dealt with privately.
And that's what I struggle with in that particular situation. Now, my daughter, Megan, she's 14. She's in youth ministry. She's getting ready to go into high school. She knows me well enough that when I give her the death glare from across the hallway, I'm talking with a person. You know, every once in a while I get to preach in big church, and then afterwards they like whoever is on staff to be out in the foyer just kind of meeting and greeting. And, you know, people like to come say, hey, good message, Pastor, and all that. And so I'm over there, and then my kids are now running around in the hallway, and I give them the death glare. And they know. Like, if I just look at them sideways, they're like, oh, better stop. And I'll see my son, my 11-year-old, and he's reaching for like an extra muffin or cookie, and I know he's had 20, and I'm like, and he'll like slowly just walk backwards, like he won't break eyes with me, but he'll just like walk away, like I'm not doing anything, Dad. And she's even noticed that, you know, Dad, so who was doing what? I saw you give the look she while knows, you were leading worship.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, there was a kid in the back who just like was texting, and I'm like, somebody do something. But I do remember. Now that you mention it, there was a leader nearby that kid, but they were eyes closed, hands raised.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to fault the leader in that case, but like, do you talk to your leaders then when it comes to that kind of a thing?
You know, sometimes it depends. Sometimes it depends on how teachable the leader is.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll just have a one-on-one conversation, and if it's a leader that tends to be pretty receptive and open, it's like, hey, okay, here was an example of just, you know, and normally you're pretty good about it, but just a reminder.
Yeah.
This happened, and you know, you remember when this happened. Sometimes even bringing it up, they're like, oh yeah, when you had to do that, I felt bad because I should have been on that. It's like, okay,
I get that a lot.
So here you go. It's just a reminder. It's okay. Yeah. No big deal. Just trying,
and it may be a good
sign.
But
sometimes there's a leader that's not quite as teachable, and so then I'll try some things. I don't like. I can do confrontation.
Yeah.
But I don't like to if I don't have to.
Yeah.
If there's another option, so I'll try some other options. And so another option I may try would be like, okay, communication out to all leaders. Hey, just a reminder, when a kid's being distraction around you, you know, help me out by taking care of it so I don't have to. And I might try, and then if I'm having consistent issues like that with a leader, then eventually, and the other options aren't quite working out, okay. Then it's the
hey Scott, let's go out for coffee. Yes. Oh boy,
yeah.
You only buy me coffee when I'm in trouble.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, I'm sorry, but you're kind of leaving me hanging too often.
Yeah,
here and there, I get it.
Yeah.
Here's also I give a lot of grace to my leaders as well because
you have to. They're volunteers.
When I'm not up front. I am the epitome of the leader that annoys me the most. I am the epitome of that middle schooler that just won't pay. I'm constantly being a distraction. So I give a lot of grace
absolutely
to my leaders. And I try to remind myself regularly that even for those middle schoolers that are the continual pain in my side, that were I not up front leading, even as a 47-year-old grown man, I am that middle schooler.
That is true.
That won't stop being a distraction. So,
when it comes to discipline, I always go back to scripture. And I know that this is a verse that a lot of people know.
It's a good place to go.
It is. It is. but there are a lot of verses that talk about discipline. The one that I tend to go back to is in Hebrews 12:11, and I'm reading from the NIV. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. And I look back in my own life, and, you know, my parents split up, but and I lived with my mom, and my mom was really strict. She was a typical Korean mom. Like, you're expected to bring home good grades. So when you bring home a report card, "Mom, I got an A minus." "Well, why a minus?"
Yeah, yeah.
"Why couldn't you get an A?" "Well, it is an A." "Well, it's not as good as a regular A." You know, and so that's like what I dealt with. And so I understand that. I also have been in martial arts my whole life. And so for me, discipline was, you know, if I talked out of turn, it was go over there and sit on the side of the dojo on your knees in a meditative pose. You have to pay attention to class, but you're not to talk. Or, you know what? You get to come to class an hour early, and while everybody else is getting ready, you get to straighten the shoes by the front door. You get to sweep up afterwards. Like, there was always a consequence involved for your actions. And so so the question, I guess, is in youth ministry. Now, you talked about giving grace to your leaders. I suppose we ministry of grace. Does that mean we become doormats and we just, I mean, it's a loaded question, obviously, but do we just let the kids run over us, or do we extend so much grace that it's absolute chaos?
Yeah. I think so the way I approach it is I give grace, but I still have conversations that need to happen. Giving grace does not mean you don't discipline. Giving grace means, like, here, I understand. And it may take a while to get this down. But I, you know, whether it's talking with a leader or with a student, it's okay. This is becoming a problem and it needs to change. Now, I love you. This stuff doesn't change anything about how I feel about you or anything about your welcomeness here. You are always welcome here. But here's what I really need you to work on. And I will be patient with you if you will work on this and let's just have some progress.
Do you have any policies or like a limit to, hey, look, when you've crossed the line so many times, you know, you're done. Personally, we have a three strikes, you're out kind of rule, but even that is a grace-filled rule. And I'll share that while you're thinking about that. we have a code of conduct that we have the students sign, and it talks about everything from, you know, dress to whatever. And it's not super strict, but and we back everything up. On the code of conduct, after every point, there's scriptural reference to say this is why we do this, because it says, you know, honor your sisters, you know, and et cetera. So we're not going to dress immodestly, or we're not going to make them objects. We're going to treat them with respect. And so when it comes to discipline, our policy is this, that on the first offense, now this is for major stuff. Like if a kid's just talking like that, like I didn't go, okay, that's strike one. But if it's a distraction to everybody, like if in the middle of worship, like he was standing up on the chairs, waving his arms and jumping off and stuff, that would have been strike one. But I didn't count that as a strike. So our deal is with strike one, we'll pull you aside and we will lovingly, and it's more than one leader so that, you know, there's accountability there. We will lovingly let you know what rule you broke, how we felt you broke it, and, you know, encourage you to improve in that area, right? The second strike, however, is we're going to approach you again once in love, and it's going to be, hey, man, you know, I'm sorry you broke this rule again, but this is our policy. We now have to call your parents. So we call the parent and say, hey, listen, so let's say you're the parent. I'd be like, hey, Scott, we just had an issue with your kid. It's not the first issue. The first issue we had, we talked with them about it. They agreed to make changes, and they haven't. Now we're having this issue again. I'm gonna ask you to talk to them, but these are your options. We give them one more shot, extend grace, and say, hey, listen, you can stay, but you get one more chance, or you can come get them right now. And then, you know, depending on where we're at, I mean, if we're on a field trip or something, an overnight or somewhere where it's hours of driving, you obviously don't want to come get your kid right away, so you're going to give them another chance. Luckily, I've never had to go past strike two.
Right.
And then I hand the phone to the kid. Normally, I hear the parent yell, rah, 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 why'd you do this? And, you know, you're embarrassing the family, and shape up, right? So normally, that's it. Sometimes it's repentance and an apology. Sometimes it's, oh, I can't believe you called my parent. But either way, they're not doing it anymore. Strike three would be the phone call to the parent. Listen, Scott, we've been talking to your kid. They won't stop doing it. And unfortunately, they've left us no choice. You're going to have to get your kid right away. Imagine we're on a university visit and you have to drive all the way out there 7.5 hours to pick up your kid. You're not going to be happy. So I've never had to get there, but that's our policy. And we have gotten a strike too. And that's as far as we've gotten. And we put that in place because we want the kid to know that, yes, there's grace, but there are also consequences. And even if you get picked up from a youth event, you're still welcome back.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've never had a kid actually get picked up. The parents have always said, we're going to give you one more try. And, you know, most of the time I don't have an issue with that kid afterwards.
Right. Right. You know, what's really interesting is I am, and a lot of people are surprised to realize it, but I'm a rule follower.
Yeah.
My wife is more of the rebel, and people would totally pin us the opposite, but the reality
but
is...
But once you get to know her, though, yeah, like, you're like, yeah.
There's Nicole, she's the rebel, Scott's the... Yeah, I am the rule follower, and, I mean, to the nth degree... with things, and it actually drives Nicole crazy. But anyway, I'm the rule follower, but when it comes to things like this, I'm not a big rule maker. One of the things that I found, at least for me, is that when I lay out rules, I'm always having to flex those depending on a kid's situation, a kid's personality, a kid's teachability,
mm-hmm.
and a familiarity with a kid. A new kid, I'm going to treat very different than a kid that's been around and should know better. And so I just kind of have, you know, this is the spirit of who we are, and anything that really begins to pull away from that, I address.
Yeah.
And I will lay out a plan with a kid in a moment, based on what I feel like it needs. And so it's like, okay, here's what we're going to do. You've been using some repeated language, and I've already asked you kind of, hey, I've already pulled you aside once and said, hey,
yeah,
I know you're kind of new to the group a bit, and you are always welcome here. And I've already asked you, you know, just do me a favor, just kind of clean up. I'm not trying to tell you to be something different, but just respect a little bit more who we are.
Yeah.
So kind of clean up. So we've already had that conversation, and it's not gotten any better. So here's what we're going to have to do. And I'll lay out a plan at that point, depending upon who the kid is or how new they are, or it's just all those different factors.
Yeah.
And so I kind of have things in my head that I apply in individual circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
But in the end, I honestly don't believe that one is the right approach and other is a wrong approach. I think we need to find what works well for us. And there have been groups that I've been at that I've had more strictly defined, parameters because of the nature and tendency of that group. But I've also, you know, where I'm at right now, it's when I first came to where I'm at. I had to deal a lot more strictly with some things because things were so chaotic and so insane.
Exactly. And they're going to push the boundaries with the new culture, youth pastor.
The culture, part of it is what kind of culture am I headed toward, and what needs to happen to create that culture? And we're at a place now where the culture is really good. It's really healthy. And so I'm able to be a lot more flexible and just deal with things on an individual basis. In the end, find the thing that works, one, for you and your personality.
Yeah.
And your experience and your style. Two, that works for your group and its current culture, and toward the culture which you're trying to create.
Mm-hmm.
And three, whatever the approach is, make sure there's a lot of grace allowed.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all good
stuff. I think grace is the most important element. Yeah. Whatever approach you have, discipline has to happen.
Yeah.
But there's a myriad of ways in which it can take place.
So you talked about like creating a plan moving forward, right? From personal experience, I would just encourage you, if you're making a plan with a student, make sure that it's a plan that's setting them up for success, not failure. I've been on the receiving end of a corrective plan that really was unfair. For example, you know, I would, and it's funny because my son has gotten in trouble a lot for talking in class, and I got in trouble at one point when I was in elementary school, going into middle school that age, for talking in class. And I remember it's not always being my fault.
Right.
There was one time where my best friend, his name is Alan, leans over to me.
Alan just got thrown under the bus.
Leans over to me. He'll vouch for me. He remembers this, I'm sure. He leans over to me and goes, "Hey, how do I spell my name again?" I kid you not, A-L-A-N. And we were, I think.
And he was serious.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
He had written A-L-L-E-N, and then he erased it on the top of the test paper, and he goes, "Wait, how do I spell my name again?" And I was like, A-L-A-N. And then I got caught right then talking in the middle of a test. She told me to bring my test paper up to her, and she was going to tear it up, man, and give me an F. And so then afterwards, she basically put me on this plan, and it said that I will refrain from talking during class, and if I am caught talking, that whatever project we're on, I'm going to take a zero in. And I'm like, that is setting me up for failure, because obviously there are times like that where it's not my fault, where somebody talks to me. What am I just going to be like, put my hand up, like, don't talk to me, dude. Yeah,
figure
don't
out
talk
how to spell
me.
Your own name.
Yeah, you know. I can't write a note because then I'll get in trouble for note passing.
Right.
So it was like, make sure you're setting people up for failure. Make sure it's something that they can do. Make sure that it's a measurable outcome, that you don't say, hey, you've got to be 100% perfect. Well, define 100% perfect, you know. And I don't know any teenager that can be. And the other thing is, I'm going to date myself here, is I like to, whether it's leaders or whether it's students, I like to take that Jerry Maguire approach of help me help you.
Right.
Right. When I pull a leader aside to talk to them, it's like, hey, man, and I try to do like a compliment sandwich. Right. So I start off with a compliment. Hey, Scott, man, thank you for being such a great volunteer, being here every Sunday, every Wednesday, punctual, coming early to help me set up chairs and stuff. I really appreciate that. When we have students that are acting up, like that kid in worship that I threw the toilet paper at, man, I would love it if you could help me out by identifying it firsthand and then maybe putting a stop to it, so that whoever's on stage doesn't have to deal with it. That would be great. But, man, I really, really love that you have a heart for the kids, and I'm so glad that you're a part of my ministry. Yeah. So I try to put it in a compliment sandwich anytime I'm giving some sort of correction like that. I don't always succeed at that. Sometimes I fail. Sometimes I get angry. I go, dude, where were you? Why didn't you deal with that kid? You know, and that's wrong of me.
Right.
And what I've learned over the years is when you use something like that, excuse me, that compliment sandwich, it sets the person at ease. They've received two positive comments, one constructive criticism, and so it makes them want to go, you know what, you're right, man, I'm glad you appreciate me, I'm gonna go a step further so I can help you out and make this the best ministry that I can make.
I think that's a fantastic approach. And let me qualify some of what I was talking about earlier with kind of my more flexible in the moment situational approach. I will say, I honestly don't know how much, but I do believe that a certain amount of my ability to do that and to create those more impromptu plans and settings and stuff like that comes from the fact that I've been doing this for 27 years.
Yeah.
There's been a lot of trial and error, a lot of learning how to deal with different personalities that I think gives me a little step up in the moment of getting an understanding of what a kid's personality is like that maybe I don't know as well, or just things like that. So taking that approach may be something that comes later down the line with more experience for some people, because I do think about it. And when I was younger, and earlier in ministry, I did have, I was more likely to have some specific spelled out things.
Yeah.
But I think at this point, the experience has allowed me to successfully approach it with a more impromptu situational
And absolutely. And the last thing that I'll add is anytime that you have rules, they can't be just about rules, and discipline can't just be about rule following. It's got to be about what's your mission?
Yeah.
Our goal, our mission, as we stated in our youth ministry, is to know Christ and to make Christ known, as we help teens to know Christ and to make Christ known. So if it's something that's going to go counter to our mission, we want to deal with that.
Right.
Definitely. If it's not mission critical, then, you know, maybe we extend enough grace to even let it slide, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, if there's a kid that just absolutely refuses to play a game, yeah, maybe they don't have to play a game. But that doesn't mean you exclude them from youth ministry. Maybe send a leader over there to say, hey, man, what's going on, buddy? Why don't you play?
Sometimes I'll have kids say, you know, why do I have to do this? But they don't have to. It's like, well, I'll say, okay, here's the situation.
Yeah.
you know, there's something going on. And I don't reveal details that yeah. they don't need to know, but sometimes it's okay to, you know, there's a certain amount you can give. But like, well, this is why, because there's some stuff going on and I'm dealing with it specifically. And so I deal with yeah. different things differently. And, you know, yeah. And so, yeah, I think all of that makes a great deal of sense. And essentially it's going to be, we're not going to know exactly what to do in every given situation.
Yeah.
Experience will give us more insight to that,
yeah.
but there's going to be failures on our part. So when we fail in the area of discipline, which we're going to do, so I have been at this 27 years, I still fail in how I deal with discipline sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm exhausted, and I find myself exhausted in ministry far more often in these years
yeah.
than I did when I was younger. And so sometimes what that creates is a tendency to snap, and that's not okay. And so then I have to go to a kid and say, listen, I'm really sorry. What you did was this and this, and it wasn't okay, but yeah. the way I dealt with it was also not okay. And yeah. I apologize. I ask if you will forgive me for that and give me some grace. Here's what you have to be willing to do that.
I just remembered I was the same kid, actually. We were on a youth outing, and he was just pushing my buttons, and I was like, I can't take this anymore. So oftentimes I'll use humor to diffuse the situation, and I said to this kid, we'll call him Johnny, I said, hey, Johnny, I just want you to know that right now I'm like a doctor after a malpractice suit. What does that mean? No patience, okay?
Yeah.
So stop pushing my buttons. And he was like, oh, okay. And he stopped, right?
Yeah.
But you know, I also have to say, sometimes your discipline, like your rules or, you know, whatever, have to be informed by your policies. Now, if your church has a strict, you will not lay a hand on a kid, like even grab them and pull them aside, no physical discipline whatsoever, even if two kids get in a fight, there's some churches that have said, that's our hard, fast rule. And you cannot physically touch a kid in that way, the way some schools have gone, you know.
Right, right.
Both kids will be expelled, but the teacher, you cannot touch yeah. a kid, right?
Well, and if you're in a place like that, it's worth investigating why that's set up that way, because that's usually there as a reaction to maybe something that's happened yeah. in the past. And so understand yeah. that there's a reason that that's there.
Absolutely.
And it may not be something that makes sense to you right now, but it's there because of something maybe yeah. in the past. So,
and obviously, you know, we have not answered every possible question on this topic.
Not
this
at
may
all.
Be something we talk about again
yeah.
later.
Yeah.
As a matter of fact, we don't have all the answers. We never claim to have all the answers. And so, if you got something you'd like to add to the conversation, we would love to hear from you. You can visit us on our website. That's eclectic.com, eclectic. You can find us on Twitter. We are at eclectic, eclectic. You can email us if you're still doing that, podcast@eclectic.com. You can also hit us up on Facebook, like us, share us. We are facebook.com/IamEclectic. I'm Rob.
I'm Scott.
Thanks for listening,
and stay eclectic.